Welcome to Herd Mentality, a podcast from StoneX where we discuss global dairy markets and what's driving them. Remember that the trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. We're recording this Wednesday afternoon, October 30th. With me is Dave Krasowski, team lead of our dairy group in Chicago. And I wanted to bring Dave on because the last time he was on, we both boldly predicted the cheese was going to stay above $2 a pound. And cheese has not stayed, at least U.S. cheese, has not stayed above $2 a pound. The surprising thing to me is the cheese fundamentals have turned out more bullish than expected. We just got the September cold storage report Friday last week. Cheese stocks were 33 million pounds lower than forecast, down 7.3% from last year. They revised down August stocks by 6.5 million pounds. And looking back, the August and the July cheese stocks were both lower than forecast as well. So inventories turned out lower than forecast. Domestic disappearance has been better than forecast. We've had record exports this year. The cheese balance table on its own looks pretty supportive, and yet cheese prices have dropped off here. Maybe it's a loaded question, Dave, but like, why do you think cheese has dropped below $2 a pound?
Well, it's a great question. And yeah, we were wrong about the $2 mark, at least for the moment, as of this recording. And it's, but it feels like home a little bit, you know, being wrong in this market does feel familiar. It's like a warm blanket, so I'm okay with it. But you know, the market has a lot of market memory, so to speak, at the $1.90 level. This is where we traded product on cheese, at least from May through July. So we had 3 months right around this area, and we're back in that area. So I'm not really sure. I mean, yeah, I would think that we could have had those pops just in conversations with, you know, sellers of cheese, physical traders, et cetera. It seems like demand recently, in the last maybe 3 or so weeks, domestically at least, has been somewhat lackluster for time of year, for the season. And so maybe, you know, the market kind of has this kind of 190 price etched out and it feels pretty comfortable being there. It could be that it is trading at a slight discount to where, you know, the numbers would bear out, you know, and at least the numbers that we have today. It's not any surprise, I don't think, to anybody that 260 barrels probably was too high. 230 block probably was too high. It maybe overshot the mark, and now we're maybe under the mark a little bit. But there does seem to be this kind of quiet in the market right now, and I don't know if that is the forthcoming election, the forthcoming FMMO decision and final vote on that. But I think if you look at it from a standpoint of, you know, lackluster or somewhat quieter demand than maybe would typically be the case throughout mid-October, people look at that and go, gee, if it's lackluster now, where are we going to be in 45 days? You know, we're going to start putting more cheese on the market. Got some plants gearing up, and we typically see a slowdown in demand starting in December. So
I'm with you. While the milk supply, we can get into that too. I mean, it's deteriorated with bird flu in California, but the long run trend is towards some improvement. Even with the milk supply, I think looking better from a long-term perspective, again, the cheese fundamentals by themselves look still pretty supportive. So when I look at the models, we've gone to a 10, 15 cent discount against where the models say CME block should be. And the question is, do we stay here at a 10 cent discount to where the models are, which probably puts us into the $1.80s in December? Or if we bounce back to what the model suggests, then we're still in the $1.90s come December, or maybe potentially even a little bit higher. depending on how the production comes together. So I believe one of the new cheese plants has started running milk. Do you think any of the weakness is coming from the increase in capacity?
If it is, it's coming from the perception of that increased capacity more than the capacity itself, because I don't really think they're running much right now. And I don't think they'll probably run much, probably not until December, all things going well. So, the perception is like, well, the market trades the perception on some level. It's like, I perceive that things are going to be weaker. I can't really see a story or a narrative for things to change a whole lot. It is interesting, though, because we do have this bird flu going in California. And Reuters just put out an article about how they're going to start doing nationwide bulk tank testing, which, you know, obviously trying to find this before it becomes a problem or kind of, you know, be proactive in finding it. I'm not sure what your thoughts are on that, but I would say that the other piece of this that has been kind of quiet over the past few months, as far as new business is concerned, but is starting to pick up, is export. So, you know, at $1.89, $1.90, we can domestically look at that and say, okay, we could probably clear this price. Maybe we have to go down a little bit. But we are competitively priced versus the global stage. And so I suspect we're going to start to win some more export business as we go into the end of the year.
There's been some anecdotal comments about some export sales being won. I'm just trying to jump onto StoneX Plus here and take a look, because I know European cheese prices were also weakening a bit as the U.S. market was dropping too. Still got it in the wrong currency, USD. Yeah, so March mozzarella OTC contract, today's midpoint was $2 a pound. And we have what, CME cheese futures for March at $1.87. So we're probably still competitive, but a month ago, 6 weeks ago, that March price OTC out of Europe was more like $2.15 a pound or $2.10 a pound. So we're a little bit less competitive than we were 30 days ago, but probably still competitive on the export side. On that bird flu, yeah, that Reuters article is interesting. They don't have much detail on how they're going to do the testing. If you really wanted to find bird flu, you would take a sample from each plant in a state. And if a plant tested positive, then you start testing the individual tankers going into that plant. And from there, trace it back to the farm that it must have come from, right? So if you really wanted to find it, other than Wisconsin, where they have a couple hundred dairy plants, you could just do testing at a dozen dairy plants in each state and probably track it back, but we'll see how they decide to do it. Right now, in the past 30 days, there's been a couple of cases of confirmed bird flu in Idaho, and then close to 150, 170 confirmed cases in California. It's just burning in California. And California produces about 30% of U.S. butter and close to 50% of the non-fat dry milk and skim milk powder. And we've seen a little bit of strength in non-fat dry milk, but the butter price is down here in the 260s to 270 price level. So I don't know if you've heard anything out of California or anything out of the butter market, because it doesn't seem to be lining up with the impact of milk production there.
No, and sometimes it doesn't line up right away. And we've had, you know, even going back a few months ago, we had cream that was not, you know, was relatively available. It's even more available today. And other signs that said, gee, $3.10 on butter, $3.15 seems a little rich given what we're hearing out there. That was a couple months ago even. And we've had a correction, and we've had a significant correction on the price. I think there's a lot of buyers, end users that want to own butter into 2025 in this 275, 280 level. I think that's a budgetable number. They don't want to be over $3 if they can avoid it. In fact, I was looking at open interest on butter futures. It's actually up, I can't remember, it's 15% versus this time last year. So, you know, looking at all contracts, you know, we're up. So there's more activity, I think, in the butter futures from that perspective. And there's, you know, certainly. So, you know, the way that I kind of see this playing out is we had this burst of selling come in. I mean, we traded over a couple hundred loads of butter to get us down at 261. Now that has subsided. And I wouldn't be surprised if spot buyers find value down here to push it. And maybe we go back up to 290 or 295. And that will tell the tale as to, I think, whether or not the market actually feels healthy. Because, you know, I think maybe my prognostication would be that sell side comes back in. And whether it's 285, 290, 295, somewhere in that area. And the sellers will come back in because I do think there's enough bulk butter to do that, to warrant another wave of sell side activity. If the market feels healthy up at 290, if it does get there, we're at 270 as of today. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe things are tighter. Maybe this California thing is a bigger deal. But if my guess would be we would put a lower high in, and then we'd sell it off again going into the first part of the year. But you know, whether we're talking about 250 butter or 280 butter, you're still talking about, you know, relatively high priced butter, historically speaking. So, you know, I'm not really, I'm sorry, go ahead. Well, I'm looking at like the last 10, 15 years, you know, I'm thinking, when are we going to see $1.80 butter again, you know, or $1.70 butter? Well, maybe not anytime soon, you know. But you're right. I mean, 250 certainly would be, I think, a budgetable number. 280 is a budgetable number at the moment for buyers. And yeah, I guess we don't know what's going to happen, but I think short term here, at least, you know, for right now, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some gyration, some buy side interest on the spot market come in and, you know, regain some of the lost value of butter, that we saw here over the past, you know, month or 6 weeks.
I was plugging in a little bit of a bounce for butter, but just based on holiday seasonal demand. But with butter stocks coming in higher than forecast for August and September, and with all that cream being available, I'm losing any confidence in a seasonal bounce between now and December. Maybe add on 10 cents. Maybe we can run it back to 280, but I'm getting more skeptical, and I think there is the potential for more downside risk in Q1, just based on the seasonal nature of pricing and inventory buildup. So I don't know. Butter's looking well supplied, I guess, is a good way of putting it. And what we would need to see to get that rally going or to change that view would be constrained milk supply, some big improvement in the demand for cream outside of butter, like cream going into food service and processed foods, and continued good usage of cream and ice cream and sour cream, et cetera. Like you need to put together a bullish story for cream itself. And then we need to continue to see good demand for butter, because we have pushed retail butter prices up to some very high levels. I think the number reported in the CPI report puts butter at record high retail price. So you got to have a lot of things going the right way to get that butter market bullish again.
Yeah.
At least in the next 4 or 5 months.
Right. And we see a general shift, I think, in you know, just paying attention to podcasts and advertisements and you know, things. It seems like, you know, although butter is still favored over non-butter alternatives, the focus really has been on protein as of the last year or so. It seems to be focused more on the protein side. There's a big protein push, whether it's as an ingredient in, you know, various foods, So, I mean, the protein market is interesting, you know, with whey up around 60 cents and seeming just fairly comfortable just to sit at 60 cents for the moment. That's the dry whey, but you've got the higher priced human consumption whey that I haven't heard of a whole lot of weakness on that as of right now. Maybe we'll finally catch up with supply and, you know, and catch up with have the supply catch up with the demand. But protein seems to be kind of the bell of the ball, so to speak, in dairy. And I don't think that's going to change anytime real soon.
That's a good point. And this week, we've seen some strength in U.S. spot non-fat dry milk. GDT skim milk powder was up this week. And it looks like European skim was relatively flat. The futures were a little bit stronger. So we have seen some strength creeping up in even the lower protein products like non-fat dry milk, skim milk powder. I think we can attribute some of that to bird flu in California. That's probably not driving the strength on pulse, but is there anything else that's driving non-fat right now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think from a buyer perspective, when I've just kind of cobbling together conversations I've had, from a hedge perspective, you know, $1.90 cheese for next year, $2.80 on butter, and then $1.35 non-fat. I mean, those are livable prices. And so I think that that area is one that has pretty good support on the non-fat market, both on the spot market presently and on the futures market. So I don't know if there's any outside of perhaps that, you know, they are seeing some firming in the global marketplace and saying, well, it's still better for me to source where I'm sourcing out of the US, et cetera. I'll go get something done now. But otherwise, I would have to attribute our premium to things like the bird flu and the tightness on milk production. You know, milk production in California was up 2% in August. They revised it to up 2.3%. It was flat in September. I suspect it's going to be down at least 2% in October, maybe even more. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah. Talking to people on the ground, I think the numbers closer to -3 to -4 for October. The question is whether the USDA gets the number right or not, at least on the first blush. So maybe they report a -2% number the first time around, and then it gets revised a little bit lower in the future. But yeah, I do think California is down pretty significantly.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I've looked at. I think that keeps the market in the U.S. a little bit higher, but we haven't gotten to this place where the market just kind of panics and the buyers panic. But I think there's limited downside on nonfat at the moment. I mean, unless the economy just totally shifts, even if that happens, I think we probably still have upside on nonfat as we go into 2025.
All right. Well, we boldly made some predictions at the end of the last podcast, and we were wrong. So I thought about asking you to predict who's going to win the election next Tuesday, but I won't put you on the spot for that.
I'll plead the fifth on that one, Nate. You know, what are you doing? What kind of question is that?
we'll just sit back and we'll see what happens. Thanks for your time today, Dave.
Thanks, Nate. Appreciate it.
The StoneX Dairy Team spans the U.S., EU, Asia, and Oceania, providing market intelligence, analysis, and forecasts through our interactive data platform called StoneX Plus, as well as full-service brokerage on the major dairy exchanges, the CME, EEX, and SGX. If you're interested in finding out more about our market intelligence or brokerage services, you can find more information on StoneX.com.
This communication is issued in the European Economic Area by StoneX Financial Europe SA, SFE by the SFE presenters noted. StoneX is the trade name used by StoneX Group INC and all its associated entities and subsidiaries. StoneX Group Inc. companies provide financial services worldwide through its subsidiaries, including physical commodities, securities, exchange-traded and over-the-counter, under derivatives, risk management, global payments and foreign exchange products in accordance with applicable law in the jurisdictions where services are provided. References to certain over-the-counter ROTCA products or swaps are made on behalf of StoneX Markets, LLC SXM, a member of the International Futures Association, NFA, and provisionally registered with the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, as a swap dealer. SXM products are designed only for individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant, ACPAT, and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. Wealth management is offered through S.A. Stone Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA/SIPC, and S.A. Stone Investment Advisors, Inc., and SEC-registered investment advisor, both wholly owned subsidiaries of Stone X Group, Inc. Stone X Financial Limited, SFL, is registered in England and Wales. Company No. 5,616,586. SFL is authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority Registration Number FRN 446,717 to provide to professional and eligible customers, including arrangement, execution, and, where required, clearing derivative transactions in exchange-traded futures and options. SFL is also authorized to engage in the arrangement and execution of transactions in certain OTC products, certain securities trading, precious metals trading, and payment services to eligible customers. SFL is authorized, regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority under the Payment Services Regulations 2017 for the provision of payment services. SFL is a Category 1 ring dealing member of the London Metal Exchange. In addition, SFL also engages in other physically delivered commodities business and other general business activities which are unregulated and not required to be authorized by the Financial Conduct Authority. Stone X Financial Europe SA. SFEED is a securities trading firm registered in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg under Company No. RC Lux B 10821. SFE is authorized by the Luxembourg Ministry of Finance and regulated by the Commission de Surveillance du Secteur Financier Registration No. P00000012 to carry out, inter alia, the activities of investment advisor, portfolio manager, professional acting on own account, broker in financial instruments, and commission agent. Stone X Financial PTE LTD Co. Reg. No. 20113059 8R SFP is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore and is a capital market service licensee for dealing in capital market products. An exempt financial advisor for advising on investment products and issuing or promulgating analyses/reports on investment products and a major payment institution for cross-border money transfer service. Stone X Financial HK Limited CNO, BCQ152SHK is regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission for dealing in futures contracts. Stone X Group Inc. acts as agent for SFL in New York with respect to its payment services business. Stone X Financial Thai Limited, SFA Akin, 14177-4727 holds an Australian financial service license and is regulated by the Australian Securities and Investments Commission, AFSL, 345646. Stone X Securities Co. Limited, SSJ Co. Reg. No. 01040104799 is regulated by the Japanese Financial Sir. SIS Agency as a Taipei Financial Instruments Business Operator. Kanto Local Finance Bureau FIBO No. 291 is a member of the Financial Futures Association of Japan for dealing and broking FX and FX option transactions, and is a member of the Japan Securities Dealers Association for dealing and broking stock indices and option transactions. The information herein is not a recommendation to trade nor investment research or an offer to buy or sell any financial product. It does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and does not create a binding obligation on any of the Stone X Group Inc. of companies to enter into any transaction with you. You are advised to perform an independent investigation of any transaction to determine whether any transaction is suitable for you. This material should be construed as the solicitation of an account, order, and/or services provided by the FCM division of Stone X Financial Inc., SFID NFAID 0476094, or Stone X Markets LLC SXM NFAID 0449652, and represents the opinions and viewpoints of the individual authors or presenters and does not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of SFI or SXM. It does not constitute an individualized recommendation or take into account the particular trading objectives, financial situations, or needs of individual customers. Additionally, this material should not be construed as research material. The trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter AUC products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. All references to and discussion of OTC products or swaps are made solely on behalf of SXM. All references to futures and options on futures trading are made solely on behalf of SFI. SXM products are intended to be traded only by individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant, ACPA, and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. SFI and SXM are not responsible for any redistribution of this material by third parties or any trading decisions taken by persons not intended to view this material. Information contained herein was obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but is not guaranteed as to its accuracy. Contact designated personnel from SFI or SXM for specific trading advice to meet your trading preferences. SFP may distribute analysis/report produced by its respective foreign affiliates within the Stone X Group of companies pursuant to an arrangement under Regulation 32C of the Financial Advisors Regulations. Recipients should contact SFP at 656309-1000 for any matters arising from, or in connection with, this podcast. No part of this material may be copied or duplicated in any form by any means or redistributed without the prior written consent of Stone X Group Inc. The podcast herein is not directed to, or intended for distribution to or use by, any person or entity who is a citizen or resident of or located in any locality, state, country, or other jurisdiction where such distribution, publication, availability, or use would be contrary to law or regulation. Copyright 2024 Stone X Group Inc. All rights reserved.